This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Join WSMI's Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
David Jenkins, thank you so much, and welcome to Sports Saturday. Big show for you today. We'll be catching up with Gillespie softball coach Michelle Smith. Also, Darren Deneve will be along, and he had a fun last couple of days, didn't he, team?
Well, last Wednesday, the team from Carlinville High School competed in the WYSE. That's the World Youth Science and Engineering Competition put on by the U of I, and they finished second in the state. So we have a chance. I caught up with Darren yesterday, and we are going to replay that interview. And it's really kind of been, of course, you know, a few years ago we had the Scholastic Bowl champs from Litchfield out here, and this was a pretty high level competition. So it's just sports with the brain.
Exactly right.
Yeah. So congratulations. It's a really important kind of sports.
that will serve you when you're 27. 47.
The really important stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. So congratulations to the young people from Carlinville for that great accomplishment. We'll have Darren's interview coming up probably about 9:45 this morning here on Sports Saturday.
And by the way, we do have it already posted on the website under the specials and interviews. So if you go to the website, click on the word listen in the blue box and scroll down to interviews and specials, it's already there. So
springtime is flying by. I mean, we're almost to the end of April now, so that means the high school baseball and softball season is just about done. Until you told me right before we came on the air that Michelle Smith had told you Gillespie down to just 10 softball games left. So it's getting to be crunch time now. Seedings coming up in a few days. The assignments
May
have 2nd been announced.
Will be the official day for seedings, and then by Saturday the 6th we'll have all the pairings for the regional tournament. So Gillespie did get a regional softball tournament, and the only other really close one is Morrisonville 1A baseball. Otherwise, I think Greenville did get a baseball regional in 2A. But otherwise, it's going to be a little traveling for our teams, it looks like. So I know our 2A baseball teams will be, most of them will end up at West Glen or Belleville Altoff.
Because why wouldn't they?
Well, you know,
it's a logical stopping point.
Well, you know, again, the foul pole syndrome steps in. Going all the way back to when Atlanta and Cincinnati were in the Western Division, and it's IHSA geography based on that. So.
And if you're wondering, wait a minute, Belleville Altoff, aren't they bigger?
Yes. Yeah.
But remember, though, when you're a private school, it's program by program. Mm-hmm. So even though their basketball team and their football team have been powerful for a number of years, their multiplier is in effect. Yeah. But if you have not won a regional, I think it's in 5 years, then your multiplier goes away. So henceforth, Belleville Altoff is 2A. And if they win the regional this year, they'll be 3A next year.
Oh, yeah. Boy, we could,
To that point,
believe it or not, Coach Deneve and I got to that point when we were talking about the WYSE competition, but we'll let that go until a little bit later. But it's just a head scratching because, you know, the public schools, the boundary schools, get no advantage whatsoever. Right. They don't get to move down if they're not having success. And so, I don't know. It's crazy. It's the foul pole syndrome all the way around.
You know, baseball just kind of lends itself to the goofy.
It is.
Well, Madison Bumgarner has added himself to the list of infamous baseball injuries. He has sprained the AC joint in his outstanding left pitching shoulder because he crashed a dirt bike on his off day in Colorado.
They put him on the 10-day disabled
list. That's not going to be.
But some people are saying it could be up to
6 to 8 weeks.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And that's a shoulder, and that's something that doesn't really heal right for pitchers.
You know, you can fix elbows, but shoulders sometimes are very, very difficult.
Mm-hmm. And you're talking about a guy who, over the last 4 or 5 years, has established himself as one of the great postseason pitchers of all time.
And a heck of a hitter.
Goodness, yes.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, he's just one of those, he's a good old country boy.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, you read the stories about Madison Bumgarner. I remember that a few years ago talking about the story. The team bus broke down. So old Mad Bum, he got off the bus, fixed the bus, and then got him on their way. Who does that?
Madison Bumgarner.
Bumgarner, that's exactly right. So you think he'd be able to ride a dirt bike without injuring himself, but evidently not.
Yeah.
That's a big blow for the Giants.
That is huge. That really is huge. And Randy was asking this morning when we were conversing there at the end of Spotlight on Sports about, you know, don't players have, you know, contract stipulations
about
certain do,
you know, not doing things that would could possibly lead to lead to injuries? And I said, well, I would think, but I don't know for a fact.
Some definitely do, and Madison Bumgarner will have that the next time he signs a contract.
If he gets a chance to sign it.
I don't know that he will.
Remember Aaron Boone a few years ago blew his knee out playing basketball, which, of course, opened up the A-Rod era in New York, because they ended up trading for him after that. But for my money, the best, the all-time non-baseball-related injury is the great John Smoltz. Burned himself ironing the shirt that he was wearing.
Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer. Hall of Famer. Great broadcaster.
Yeah.
Scratch golfer. Didn't think that one all the way through, though. Had no time to take the shirt off to iron it, but he then had to make some time out of his day to go get his second-degree burn treated.
I would like to recount the thought process there, and of course he probably would never do it, but what was the thought process going? Ah, geez, it won't take but 2 seconds.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
That's here? Good idea. Or not. And, you know, there's something about, what is it about baseball players? Maybe it's because they play every day for 6 months, but they seem to get themselves into some peculiar situation.
Well, the thing about baseball players is that the skill level is so high for specialized skills for baseball as opposed to other sports. I mean, football is just kind of brutal, and hockey's kind of brutal, and, you know, basketball has become very physical. But baseball, when you have to grip a ball or grip a bat, and, you know, there's a lot of specialty skills that are required, and it's so easy to mess things up, and I don't know.
You remember
burning yourself with an iron? I don't know, man.
You remember John Rodriguez from the Cardinals a number of years ago?
Yeah, J-Rod. Yeah.
Pretty sure this was him. They were in Cincinnati, and he was a scratch from the lineup for a day game. The reason was he got food poisoning because he decided to eat. Remember, Cincinnati is where they're at. He decided to eat some sushi that had been in his locker for like 6 or 8 hours. He got food poisoning. First off, never get sushi in Cincinnati. That was your first mistake. Mistake number one. Mistake number two, you know, I've never had sushi, but I'm guessing if it's been sitting out for 8 hours,
it's probably
you probably
good.
Don't want to eat it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that stuff's chilled, I think.
Yeah. You know, any good extension advisor from the University of Illinois Extension will tell you that any food that's left out raw after 8 hours should be probably pitched.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, I like fish, but the sushi, that's not my cup of tea.
We could talk to Lisa Peterson, our friend at the Hillsborough Extension. Ask her.
We'll get Lisa on the sports show for our special grilling competition.
How long can sushi sit out before it gives you food poisoning?
I don't know, man.
But, you know, that's nothing too like professional athletes.
I guarantee you this. You put a big porky on the grill from Paris Frozen Foods, by God, that's one of the best things you're ever going to eat in your life.
That's exactly right. I guess that's one of the prices that comes, though, with being a professional athlete. You make all the money, you get all the fame. But the other side to that coin, though, is if you do something stupid, everybody's going to know about it. You know, it's nice to be able to do something stupid and just have no one really realize that you just did something really stupid.
Yeah. Well, and Ben Roethlisberger had one of the most publicized incidents when he got in the motorcycle accident, quarterback for the Steelers.
Well, he didn't die.
Yeah. And they since put in his contract, he can no longer ride a motorcycle.
Yeah. I don't think he was wearing a helmet.
I don't think he was either.
I think his, like, face smashed off the windshield. He's lucky he'd be alive.
But at 6'5", 260, he probably did a lot of damage to that car.
Well, yeah, the car probably got up limping. Ow!
We need to get to a break. What did I run into? What rock did I hit?
It's Big Ben.
It was just Roethlisberger.
But the clock? No, the quarterback.
The quarterback.
Oh. We need a break here on Sports Saturday. We'll come back with more in a moment.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI FM 106, and we rejoin Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
David Jenkins, thank you very much. Well, the Montgomery County Baseball Tournament tricked Mother Nature. They moved it up a week. It was beautiful last week, and here we are. The normal Saturday for the county tournament is just a nasty day for baseball. But, Terry, what a day it was last Saturday at Nokomis for the Montgomery County Baseball Tournament. We'll get to the championship game and all that.
Yeah.
But the first game of the day.
12 innings.
My goodness gracious. Yeah. What a crazy ball game that was.
It was a crazy ball game between Morrisonville and Hillsborough, and a dozen innings. And, you know, with the pitch count thing now, that's something else that, you know, coaches are going to have to get used to. It's not going to go away. I'm not sure that they're going to really find a way to tweak it, to be honest with you. There probably are, you know, other suggestions that could be put forth, but I think coaches are just going to have to get used to it. I think, of course, the smaller schools are going to be the ones that are really under the gun because of lack of pitching, just lack of numbers a lot of times. But what a ball game it was, the Toppers picked up the win and got into the championship game, and Nokomis cruised by Litchfield in the second semi, and that set up the championship game between Nokomis and Hillsborough, and what a dandy it was.
The classic.
Oh, 2-1 win for Hillsborough, and two freshman pitchers started the ball game. Between them, they allowed, 3 runs and 5 hits.
That worked. The future is bright.
I tell you what, the number in the games that I've done this year, the number of underclassmen, especially freshmen and sophomores, playing baseball and softball this year is incredible, which bodes well, I think, for the next couple of years in the area. We're going to have some, I think we've got some good teams already, but I think we're going to have some really terrific teams.
And it does seem that baseball and softball, but baseball primarily, you see a lot more freshmen contributing at the varsity level than you will, say, basketball, certainly, football. Like Litchfield
just
a year ago.
Numbers.
Right. Half their team was freshmen for Litchfield last year. But as I was back here producing that first game last week, I was thinking to myself, my goodness, like, somebody's going to play for the championship game here. But so much strategy involved now because you see the pitch counts going. Mm-hmm. You see, you know, 8th inning, 9th inning, 10th inning. So much involved thinking ahead than there ever was in high school baseball before. So how was the pitching for Hillsborough once they got to the championship game?
Oh, terrific. Absolutely terrific. I mean, the championship game was one of the classics as far as the county tournament's concerned. A 2-1 ball game
I guess what I was trying to get at was, did he save anybody? Like, did he keep an inning or two in his back pocket for that championship game? That's what I was trying to get at.
Landon Carroll came in for the save to close out the game, and he had 6 pitches left on the day.
Wow.
Yeah, I think it was 6 pitches. You're allowed 105, and then you have to have 4 days off. And I think Landon threw 99 pitches earlier in the day in that first game, that 12-inning game. And I think he had 6 pitches left and 1 out to get. And he got it.
There you go.
Got the out. And he got the save. And Hillsborough are the champions. And the Toppers will host the county tournament next year at the sports complex. So it was a great afternoon of baseball. A lot of fun. Very windy. But, boy, we had some really nice warm temperatures. It was wonderful to be outside in a nice 85-degree day. And
historically, this tournament has provided great moments and great drama over the years, but to have a 12-inning game like we did to start the tournament, I mean, that's just a sign of things to come, I guess, but I think just, it wouldn't end.
Yeah, it just kept going and going and going, and, you know, I had an 8-inning game earlier this week as well with Litchfield and Pena, and that was a wild finish to that ball game as Litchfield had a 6-1 lead going into the 6th inning. And
they also had a 9-inning game against Nokomis earlier this week.
Had a 9-inning game, yes, that's right, they did, yeah. They did. You know, the game against Pena ended on a perfect throw to the plate to get the third out on the tying run, trying to score on an inside the park home run. So it's been some wild baseball this year and some good softball this year, and it's been fun. You know, baseball in the spring sports, whether it's baseball, softball, girls soccer, track, tennis, you know, kind of gets short shrifted in the springtime only because of the weather, and a lot of these events take place in the afternoons where they just don't have the ability to get a lot of people there, like basketball games, football games, and that sort of thing. So it's I've had a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun. Been a good spring, and one of my favorite times of year. And love baseball. Love baseball and softball. It's just they're great sports.
So. Well, it's good stuff.
Oh gosh, I mean, you know, we're down to the last 2 weeks of the season now,
that,
basically,
huh?
Just about the last 3 weeks of the season. So it's going to fly fast. We still have some very good matchups coming up down the line here. One in particular, I think, is Hillsborough at Gillespie softball game a little bit later on this year. So, and Gillespie, as Coach Smith will mention, going to a big tournament in Quincy, and So, yeah, still some ball games to be played, and then the postseason, and boy, it flies. We say this about every season, but it really does fly by.
Over in the blink of an eye.
And you know, we've had some pretty decent weather. We haven't had a ton of rainouts like we do some years. And when you play almost every night, that makes things seem to go by faster.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
It really does.
We'll have the interview with Michelle Smith coming up at about 9:30 this morning, Gillespie softball coach. We'll also have a conversation with Darren Zaneev talking about his youngsters and their wise second-place finish in the state series. So we'll have that conversation for you at about 9:45 this morning here on Sports Saturday. Cardinal baseball coming up today from Milwaukee. Broadcast time is
5:15.
So we'll play night ball in Milwaukee. And the Cardinals, well, this week went better than the first couple of weeks did for the Redbirds. And to me, not much has changed with the Cardinals. They are what they are. They swept the Pirates because their starting pitching was phenomenal. But the offense is streaky. The defense, I don't know, I think it's planed out since Mozeliak put the hammer down to the manager.
Yeah.
Stop playing Adams in left field, would you please? And I am really of the belief that messed them all up. Like the first 2 weeks to me, I put squarely on that decision. Because you spend all offseason talking about better defense, more athleticism. You're doing that through spring training for the most part. And then you get to the last week. The last week! And you decide that this is a good idea. And I think it just messed up the whole psyche and the whole mentality of the ball club those first couple of weeks. Because wouldn't you know, as soon as Mozeliak comes out after the debacle in the Bronx, puts the hammer down, look what happened. They've won 4 out of 5.
Well, I think part of the reasoning behind the Adams experiment.
There was no reason.
Yeah, what? Try to see that he's valuable as a utility player for trade value.
Okay. If that was your thinking, wouldn't you have wanted to maybe have him work on that all offseason and the whole spring, not the last week because the manager saw him catch a fly ball in batting practice? He looked pretty good doing that. Hey, look at that. He caught a fly ball. Let's play him in left.
You think so. But
it's sad when the general manager has to babysit the manager.
Isn't it? Isn't it?
Because that appears to be what's happening.
If you listen to Mozeliak, and how often does it, if a GM's having a dugout interview session 2 weeks into the year, something's gone terribly wrong. But you could just tell that Mozeliak had basically told Matheny, you need to stop doing this. And if you don't stop doing it, I'll find somebody who will stop doing it. And so he stopped doing it.
Yeah. And as you mentioned, the Cardinals are who they are. Offensively, they're not going to be a juggernaut.
No. You know what my biggest issue with the Cardinals that I wish they would just fix? Could you learn to run the bases? For everything pure and mighty, could you learn to run the bases? The most basic concept of baseball is running the bases. Could they please figure it out?
Got to be aggressive.
Got to be aggressive at all times. Be aggressive. They had the little league mentality, like you talked about the Litchfield game. Took a perfect throw to get him.
That's
the way the manager of the Cardinals thinks about it. Well, it took a perfect throw. They're big leaguers.
That's right. They get paid to make perfect
throws. They're not 12.
Yeah. They're not 14-year-old kids or 16-year-old kids in right field.
The 16-year-old makes 2 perfect relay throws. You tip your cap.
Yeah.
The big leaguer making $18 million a year makes a perfect throw. You don't tip your cap. You probably should have put the stop sign up and stopped them at third.
Yes. Yes. I wholeheartedly agree. But that's the mentality they work with, the mentality they've been working with. And, you know, the question is, with the starting pitching, I think, is going to be okay. The bullpen, I think, will right the ship only because they're going to get the work they need. Mm-hmm. I think the lack of work and a lot of days off probably did hurt with the fact that the bullpen was a little rough here in the early going. But how are you going to generate the offense? You know, the Cardinals are going to be much like what they were last year. They're going to score 10 runs in one game, and then they're going to go a week and score a total of 4.
We've
already seen that. And that appears to be the personality of this team.
They squarely go as the leadoff guy goes. I mean, and Fowler has struggled. He's starting to pick it up, but he's struggled at the start of the season. And last few years, if their leadoff hitter is not producing, they're not producing.
And I'll throw this out, just not necessarily as a suggestion, but just as a thought. You know, if Fowler's struggling, put Carpenter back in the leadoff spot.
Fowler number two.
He's going to get some fastball. He's going to have some speed. He's going to have some pop in his bat. You know, just to kind of get things shook up and going. Carpenter seems to hit better in the leadoff spot.
That's exactly why I've thought that, because he doesn't have the mental capacity to be able to hit anywhere else.
He's coming around, though.
I guess.
I think he's coming around, but sometimes you need to help jumpstart somebody. And I think Dexter Fowler, although he had a pretty good game last night, maybe he's hurt now.
Yeah.
But see, he's been a leadoff hitter his whole life. That's what he does.
Yeah.
Is hit leadoff. To me, his struggles are no different than any guy who signs a big contract with a new team.
He's trying too hard.
He'll be fine.
Yeah.
And I think if you move Carpenter to the leadoff spot and he has success, the manager will never move him out of there.
Yeah. Well, that's a distinct possibility. You're right.
He needs to hit third.
You're right.
He needs to figure it out and learn how to do it. Because he's much more valuable
And I think Carpenter is very capable of doing it.
He can do it. He can do it. Just has to do it.
Yeah.
Keep the same approach, the same mentality. Yeah. Just pretend you're hitting leadoff, but you're hitting third.
Well, and I still think the Cardinals, and far be it for me to criticize anybody about hitting, because I never could hit with a rat's rear end.
Hitting's kind of hard.
Hitting is extremely hard. But it appears to me that every swing of the bat is a home run swing.
That's baseball now, though.
And that is baseball now, but that's not winning baseball.
No, it's not. But that's where probably been the biggest change in the game over the years is. And, and this is where, Anthony Rizzo of the Cubs, he breaks the mold of the modern baseball player. You watch him with two strikes, he chokes up.
He chokes up.
Like, anymore, guys just get back on their heels, get their hand down on the knob of the bat, and just swing away with two strikes. Everyone's always trying to hit the big home run. That's just the way the game is now.
He's, the only one in the lineup, though, that does it, because everyone else is all or nothing. Well, not all or nothing, but they high strikeout rates in that Cubs lineup.
There's a lot of that in baseball.
There's a lot of strikeouts are just.
I mean, you hear stories back in the day.
Quite actually, the strikeouts are embarrassingly high for the sport.
What did I hear? Strikeouts are up, walks are up, home runs are up.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're trying to get the pace of play up, those three things don't lend themselves to quick ball games
and batting averages. Down.
And that doesn't bode well. I mean, that doesn't
after,
speak well
after
for
rising, the batting averages have dropped back.
What did they say the other day across all the baseball? So you count every team, there were only, I don't remember the exact, it was less than 10 hits more than strikeouts.
Really?
In all the baseball for all the games. Almost as many strikeouts as hits.
That doesn't necessarily mean the pitching is better.
No, it does not mean the pitching is better.
That means the hitting is worse.
It means the hitting approach is totally different and. They can put a pitch clock in. They can do all these different things. Stop throwing in four pitches for the intentional walk. They can do all these different things to speed the game up. But until the approach of the hitter changes, games are going to take 3 hours.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Carlin game the other night against, 2 hours and 14 minutes against the Pirates.
Yeah. Throw strikes.
Well, when Mike Leake is on the mound, he's been pitching quick.
I'll tell you what, he looks like a totally different guy this
year. Yes, he does.
He's been their best pitcher.
Yeah.
Not even close.
And you wonder if Leake was under the pressure of signing with a new team last year, maybe had a slight injury that nobody really knew about. That's kind of what I think. There was a problem there.
I'm not sure he trusted his infield defense last year.
Well,
don't blame him for that.
Yeah, you can't blame him for that. But he's when Leake is out there, you really feel like, okay, Cardinals got to have a really good chance to win this ball game.
And he's one of those guys, you watch him pitch, we can hit this guy. Even when he was with the Reds, it's like, how are they not hitting him? What is going on? There's always seven innings, no runs, two hits. That's basically what he's done so far this year.
That game against the Nationals he pitched against, I hearkened back the days when the Cardinals were facing him because I was like, yep, I remember plenty of these days where it was just baffling that he was mowing through the order.
Right. And we were just talking about how hitting has changed. In some ways, pitching has changed. High velocities, monster strikeouts. Mike Leake could have pitched 50 years ago, 80 years ago, and fit right in.
And what's it's all about movement of the pitches. Yeah. It's all about controlling the strike zone. It's about throwing strikes, but about using the entire strike zone. And
he doesn't just throw strikes. He throws quality strikes.
I mean, granted, his stuff isn't as good as Jaime Garcia's, but right now, none of his stuff is straight. Nothing that he's throwing is straight.
He's not a head case either.
No, this is true. It's just, everything he's throwing is moving, and it's crazy.
How's Jaime doing, by the way?
I haven't looked it up. I don't know. Is he even pitching?
He's in the rotation.
Is he?
Not hurt yet. Give it time.
I'll look it up
April
in the
22nd.
Next break.
It's only April 22nd.
We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we'll have Terry's conversation with Gillespie softball coach Michelle Smith following these messages on Sports Saturday.
Joining us on WSMI Sports Saturday is Michelle Smith, the head coach of the Gillespie softball team. And Michelle, thanks for joining us on Sports Saturday. Off to a terrific start. It's been a fun season thus far, but there's more to come.
I think, Sherry, we've got about 10 more games, and then we go into Quincy Notre Dame tournament at the end of it, and then we regionals. So we're getting close to the end.
Compared to the beginning of the year to where the team is right now, is this where you thought the Miners would be?
I think so, for the most part. I think we knew we'd have a pretty good season. We've had 5 losses, which a couple of them really close, and some timely hitting and a few less errors might have been the difference. But I think so. We just want to keep going in the right direction and making sure that we're getting better for the postseason. So we've played a lot of good teams this year. We have a good schedule, so that's helped a lot. We managed to add last year the Quincy Notre Dame tournament. We got 2 good games in last year with Quincy and Camp Point Central right before, sort of towards the end of the season again. We're going to do that, and I'm not sure exactly yet who we're playing. I think maybe Plains, and I'm not sure who the rest is. I haven't seen the tournament schedule. And we had SHG last night, so that was a good one for us. They're a good team. So, again, we have a few things still to work on, to get better at, but we're happy. We're 6-0 in the conference right now, so that's a good thing.
Let's talk about the composition of the team as far as the personnel is concerned. Of course, you've got Addie Bryant, who pitches. That's a good place to start.
Yep, she is. Addie's done well. She got her 1,000, and actually she's at 1,002, I think, right now, strikeout for her career. So she's doing well. She joked with Jim that maybe if she failed this year, she could come back and try and have a shot at Kelsey's next year. But that won't happen. She's a good student, a good kid. She's a good leader on the team. So, and a couple other seniors that have stuck it out all 4 years and played off and on and, contributed where they're needed. So that's good to see with the senior class as well.
And you've got some good underclassmen as well.
Yeah, we're still pretty young. We've got 4 juniors and I think 3 sophomores and about 4 freshmen. And I think maybe 5 juniors. And, they're all contributing. So I think about it. Of course, we're not ready to think about next year yet. But, we're going to lose Addie, but we still have some good pitching with Sydney Hendricks. She's been throwing for us off and on. I think she's 3-0 on the season right now, the game she's thrown. So, she throws well as well. We have a couple young kids coming up. So, we're still fairly young, so it's a good feeling not to lose like 7 seniors at once or something like that. So, Jeremy and I always joke, hopefully we're just reloading.
Yeah, when you made the comment that we're young, I think you just scared it, the rest of the South Central Conference, any of the coaches that were listening anyway.
Well, there's been a few in the past in our conference that I'm like, gosh, are they still here? Are they not done yet? So I'm sure, Casarda and Clay and Sardi have all been playing for me since they were freshmen, and Hendricks too, Sydney. And they've got 1 more year, which is good to see. And the 3 sophomores, we have Bray and Bussman. Bussman's been playing as a freshman. She got hurt and was out for a while last season, but been starting for us every game. And Megan Bray's come in and done a great job, and we needed her hitting and defensively, especially recently with Casarda being out for about a week hurt. They're all, they're all doing a good job at playing their roles, and they do what we ask of them, so that's nice.
The success that you've had is the fact that you're building the program. And we talk about this all the time on Sports Saturday, about the program stays intact because the coach stays there, and everybody knows coming in what the expectations are. How important is that?
Yeah, I think that makes a difference with any leadership position, that the expectations and they're pretty clear. When I started my first year, I was an assistant coach. I had gotten hired at Gillespie about 2 weeks before school started, and the head coach had already been named, and so he had moved on the next year, and so I was in that position to take over, which was awesome. And I stuck it out, and I plan to I always tease the girls that have gone on and graduated or coaching now that hopefully one day they'll come back and take over the program. So, so we do stay consistent. A lot of long hours and hard work have gone into it, and with the assistant coaches as well. And so we'd like to see it continue to be successful. They had a great run in the 90s, under Deb Olson and Some of those kids who are playing for me now, their moms were on those teams. So it's kind of a nice tradition that we're, you know, we've been pretty successful. We were very lucky, and we've had, you know, pitching makes a big difference. And I've had some excellent pitchers, so that does help. But, yeah, I think, you know, it's a big part of it, being consistent.
It seems like it's such a long season. It really does. But when you get down towards the end, you're going, where did it all go?
At first, at the beginning, you think, okay, it's February, and, you know, we start in March, and then so we got a long ways till the end of May. I always tell them, you know, you're mine until the state tournament kind of thing. We always hope to plan to be there every year. And it seems like a ways off, but it really has flown by. When you're playing every day, it makes it go really fast. We've been lucky that we've gotten we've got most of our games in this year. We've only had 4 rainouts, so that haven't been rescheduled. So we're playing a lot, and that makes it go really fast. But, yeah, looking back now, it's like, wow, we got 20 games in. That's a lot. Went by very quick, and we're getting wrapped up with the end of the season. And, you know, just looking at that last night on the bus coming home from Springfield Gym, and Joe and I were talking, like, we really only have 10 games left, and those will go, you know, in a flash in a couple of weeks. So it does fly by.
And Gillespie will be a team on a mission postseason after how their year ended last year.
Yes, they will. And as Michelle mentioned, you know, having a regional home always helps. And although, you know, once you get, if you're a good ball club, doesn't make any difference where you play. It really doesn't. And probably the only drawback is a long bus ride, which kind of wears on the legs a little bit. But you know, I think the sectional. The regionals there that Gillespie's involved in feeds to Williamsville. So,
home field advantage in baseball might be more important because of the mound. You know,
yeah.
if you have a
few
for your home mound, yeah. But, you know, obviously in softball, the circle is the circle.
Circle's the circle, and you know, basically it's 60-foot bases, and it's just, you know, we talk year after year, it's about the draw.
Yep. Always is.
who do you get, you know, who do you draw, what are the seedings for, and you know, and that's one thing you think about. Not only do you think about here down the stretch conference games and your pitching duties for baseball in particular, but how do you, you know, go about winning games in order to assure yourself a good seed in the postseason. So there's a lot on the line here the last 2 or 3 weeks of the season. So
a lot of important games to be played here as we go down the stretch. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we'll have the conversation with Darren Deneve. Coming up next.
And we have the opportunity to talk with a good friend of ours, Darren Deneve from Carlinville High School. Darren is not only the athletic director, but also a math teacher. We all often have him on talking about Pi Day on March the 14th. But today we're going to catch up with Darren and talk about the WYSE, that is the World Youth Science and Engineering Competition, which Carlinville is a part of the competition, a statewide competition. And Darren? A second place finish just a couple of days ago.
Yeah, it was very exciting. We went to Champaign for the state contest. The statewide contest consists of, in a way, like athletics. There's a regional and a sectional, and then the state competition. And so we were at Champaign on Wednesday, and we were able to finish second place as a team. It was very exciting.
I guess a lot of people don't really know what WYSE is, so can you give us a general overview of what it is?
Sure. It's an academic competition. As the acronym kind of indicates, you know, there's a science and engineering is the focus. However, there's 7 subject areas that kids can take tests in. They're English, biology, chemistry, mathematics, physics, computer science, and engineering graphics. And each member of the team competes in 2 of those 7 areas. And then, as you can imagine, you know, depending on how many right answers we get, you know, that's how our team score is calculated. And so we have a pretty well-balanced team this year, which is, I think, what really allowed us to do well on the team level.
Not only did you finish second place this year, but a few years ago, Carlinville High School won the state championship in this competition.
Yes, that's before my time here, but we did. There's a banner up in our gym, and I meant to look at what year it was before you called me today, but I think it was maybe 15, 20 years ago. And really, we've done well in this competition as a school several years. In fact, last year we were I think either 3rd or 4th. We were in the top 5 as well.
Darren, before we go any further, could you mention the kids that are involved in this WYSE competition and members of the team at Carlinville?
Sure. We take 14 kids to the state contest. The 14 that we took Wednesday were Carly Ambule, Ava Armour, Tyler Beam, Ryan Bowman, Andrew Deneve, Seth Evans, Amanda Healy, Grace Hewlin, Jack Kufa, Lucas Mefford, Megan Pasalacqua, Emily Smith, Robert Wiggins, and Megan Woods. And we've had more kids than that, you know, at the various levels. They let us take a few more at the regional than we do at the varsity. And if I could find some of those names, I'll get them to you here. Zeke Gray, Emma Griffith, Grayson Armour, Natalie Kaganich, Samantha Park, Maggie Ratcliffe, Rachel Struby, Daisy Velasquez, and Taylor Wills. So they've all been students who have competed for us and done well.
And Darren, in the past, we've also talked to you about the math team, which you are the part of, and of course the Scholar Bowl, the Scholastic Bowl competition sponsored by the IHSA. How does this compare to those two types of competition?
Well, it's a lot of the same kids, for sure. In the math team, that one's sponsored by the Illinois Council of Teachers of Mathematics. There's a regional contest that we attend, and then if you do well in the regional, you advance directly to state. And for us, that'll be on May 6th. I think I have that date right. It's wherever that Saturday is. And that's also in Champaign, and so we're looking forward to that. We have some people that I think are going to do reasonably well. And then, and so in the math team, there's some written tests, but there's also some partner competitions and some team competitions like group work kind of thing. There's even an oral presentation where people will get up and solve some math problems in front of some math professors, which is a daunting experience.
That sounds scary, man.
So,
holy mackerel.
And then, Scholastic Bowl is, I think, there's a lot of people who are more familiar with that. That's more of a quiz bowl kind of thing, you know. There's a panel of five kids from each team, and they ask questions and over a variety of topics, whether it's academic or even trivia. And then they, whoever gets the question fastest is obviously this team that does the best. And then this past year, I know Carlinville, I'm not directly involved with Scholastic Bowl, but Carlinville did win the regional. Our coaches are Charlie Taylor and Elizabeth Furness, and Southwestern has always done well at Scholastic Bowl lately, and Litchfield as well. And so there's some good schools in our area that have done well in these academic competitions.
We're talking with Darren Deneve from Carlinville High School, and in particular we're talking about the WYSC competition, which was held just a couple of days ago in Champaign. And a couple of your students did very well and finished in the top five?
Yeah. Tyler Beam finished in fifth place in engineering graphics, and in fourth place in computer science. And then Andrew Deneve, who I know a little bit, he finished in third place in the computer science competition. The way they do the standings is interesting. You might appreciate this. For the teams, the division is between 300 and 700 enrollment, but they divide them up into boundaried schools and non-boundaried schools. And so essentially for the team trophies, you're competing against other schools just like yourselves, just public schools generally like yourselves. On the individual level, they kind of lump those non-boundaried students and boundaried students together.
Interesting. That's interesting. Something that we've talked about on the sports show with athletic competition from time to time.
Absolutely. So, that conversation never seems to end.
It never does. Darren, how do these students prepare for this sort of competition? What do you do prior to the competition? Is this something that goes on all year round?
It's nearly the entire school year. We have coaches for every subject. Lisa Kelly is involved as our English coach. Charlie Taylor is involved at the physics and computer science and chemistry exams. I'm involved with the math exam. Jason Crowell is involved for biology. And then some various folks, including Chad Easterday, help out with the engineering graphics exam. And generally speaking, we use old competition questions, and we meet at lunch with the kids and just sort of go over some things and get used to the speed of the competition and also the types of questions. And so it's something that the kids put a lot of time into and take a lot of pride in the fact that we've done well.
Well, not only did the Carlinville football team finish second in the state, the WISE team finished second in the state, so you have bookends for the school year this year, don't you?
Ryan Bowman is on our WISE team, and he was our starting center for the football team, and as we were leaving Champaign on Wednesday, he said something kind of funny about that, I've gotten second in Champaign and state both things this year, at the beginning of the season and at the end. So that was pretty neat of him to just sort of recognize that, he was part of both squads that did very well.
And, Darren, with these kids that are competing in this competition, is there a different kind of camaraderie than there is with the athletes, or is it similar?
I suppose there are similarities and differences. It's not, a real rah-rah kind of adventure, as maybe athletics are sometimes. But, when your name is called, and to go up to the podium to receive your award, certainly there's a pretty high level of excitement for the whole team, and knowing that everybody kind of, worked together towards a common goal and that sort of thing. And so that's not unlike athletics at all.
Still pretty darn special, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's not something that I stop and give the kids a big pep talk right after the bus ride, but, I just tell them if you're choosing between the right answer and the wrong answer, you may as well, pick the right answer. But that's about all I can tell them.
It all boils down to a binary thing, yes or no.
Absolutely.
Right or wrong. There you go.
Absolutely.
So that's right down the line of math, which is your neck of the woods there. So.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Darren, always good to talk to you. Congratulations on the WISE team finishing second, and good luck. Well, what's the next competition coming up in May again?
We have the math team state competition on May 6th. So okay. I appreciate you having me on. Thank you very much.
Oh, Darren Deneve, Carlinville High School. Darren, good luck in the math competition, sir.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Take care.
And hopefully some Saturday soon we can get there and a couple of its kids out here in studio for a fun hour.
How about a little quiz?
I like it.
They would probably smoke us.
You can remove probably from that sentence.
Yeah, they would smoke us.
But we would have a good time doing
Dave
it.
Dave could be Alex Trebek.
Can you grow a mustache?
Can you do an Alex Trebek kind of thing?
Watch
Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, you gotta do Trebek SNL style.
SNL style.
Alex Trebek has a lot more class than I do.
Probably. I don't know about that. See, I remember Alex Trebek back in the day. You remember that show, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? When Regis Philbin hosted it?
Yeah.
I mean, that show, it had its time. It got, it kind of jumped the shark, so to speak, and was on for way too long. But it's in its early days. That was a big time show. And they tried to get Alex Trebek to go on that show, like as a contestant. He refused to do it. Because he didn't want to look stupid. He was afraid he wouldn't get all the questions right. And then people would think, well, you host Jeopardy, but you can't do this?
Well,
I lost a little respect for Alex Trebek after I heard that. Like, come on, man. Just go on the show. Be a man. Deal with it.
Alex Trebek, by the way, used to host a variety show on ice.
Oh, my.
On ice skates. Because he's Canadian. And he used to actually host and skate around and do a variety show. There's some stuff of that on the YouTube.
That's interesting.
Back in his younger days.
Trebek on skates.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Of course, the best host was the original host, Art Fleming. Oh, no, sorry.
See, I don't remember.
You're way too young.
Yeah, I don't remember.
You're
that.
Way too young. Yeah, yeah. Us old guys, though. Art Fleming, he was the best. He was the best. Yes.
Trebek.
But then the best of the best is the SNL stuff.
Oh, goodness.
You wagered three, a combination of three and five.
If you're ever in a bad mood, seriously, if you're ever in a bad mood and you just need to laugh to the point where you're almost crying.
Oh, that'll cheer you up.
Go to YouTube and grab a couple of those clips from SNL when they do the spoof of Jeopardy.
You got to do some searching, too, because I tell you, NBC is
very,
very
particular about that.
They are.
Yeah. But you can find them. They're there.
Yeah.
They're there.
You can find SNL stuff on YouTube.
Yeah. But those are harder to find.
Those are harder to find, but they're there.
So popular.
They're there, yeah. And Daryl Hammond doing Sean Connery is just...
Well, classic.
Oh.
It's classic.
That skit was started by Norm MacDonald because he wanted to get his Burt Reynolds impression on the air.
Yeah. And it's a good
and he was awful.
I like it.
I don't like Norm MacDonald. Oh. I can't stand him.
Norm MacDonald on Saturday Night Live was funny. When he got off SNL, his movies were awful. Yeah. But him on, like when he was doing the Weekend Update, funny.
That was all. That was his niche as far
as
I'm
like concerned. His style of delivery was perfect for that.
I was just never a fan of Norm MacDonald.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, if you saw the movie Dirty Work, no one would.
No, I just...
He made a movie?
sort of. An abomination to film.
Him hosting the ESPYs.
That's a waste of acetate right there.
Norm MacDonald hosting the ESPYs is one of the most painful pieces of television.
Yeah, that
to
didn't
watch.
Go well.
No, it didn't.
That didn't
it was
go
awful.
Well. That was cringeworthy.
Yeah. Mm. When Griffey cringed on camera.
Yeah, when you get the on-camera live cringe, that's never good.
Yeah.
You know the show's not going well at that point.
Do you guys watch award shows? I never watch award shows.
I watch 10 minutes of the Oscars. That's about it.
Really?
I can't watch it anymore.
It takes too long. I don't care. You know, that's the biggest thing. I just don't care.
The Oscar is the only thing I remotely care about. And I don't really care about it too much. You know, I'm curious.
It's too political for me.
It's gotten that way.
Yeah, I don't want to hear the same topic for every speech. It's like, I want to hear about, you know, who you're thanking and not why this should be this.
See, I don't care about it. I don't care who they're thanking. I don't really care about their beliefs either. Yeah. It doesn't matter to me. Although this year's Oscars was quite hilarious with the snafu. And I love the guy who's up there giving the speech. And then when he gets done, he turns around and goes, oh, we lost, by the way.
Yeah.
I found that to be quite funny.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I know the wrong best picture winner.
He became a meme.
He did. Like the guy from La La Land, he's up there, you know, gives like this beautiful speech and like they're moving around in the back. They know something's gone wrong and then he just turns around. Oh, yeah, by the way.
Wasn't that like Steve Harvey doing one of the pageants or something?
That was one of the all-time fails. Yeah. When he announced the wrong Miss Universe winner.
Okay.
Oops.
Yeah.
Then had to go take her crown away.
Give me that back.
Give me that back. Oh, sorry.
That's right.
We've had a slight mix-up.
In the corner over here.
And you think hosting an award show is just going to be easy.
And if you want another parody that's hilarious, Weird Al Yankovic, I lost on Jeopardy. Great, great parody.
Well, Weird Al, that's good stuff.
Yeah. Underappreciated legend.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Weird Al's good stuff.
Yeah.
We ought to do just a weird stuff show this summer.
I like it.
You know? Just come up with all sorts of bizarre stuff. I don't know.
No shortage of material.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be sports. Yeah. I mean, it just be weird stuff.
Let's call Weird Al and get him on the show.
There he is.
It shouldn't be that hard.
You never know.
No.
You never
He's
know.
Not doing anything.
We will have some high school baseball. Greenville Hillsborough on Monday night. We'll have the broadcast for you, 7:03 on WSMI FM 106.1. You can always check our broadcast schedule at WSMIRadio.com. And, of course, Cardinals today at 5:15. And then I think it's a 12:15 game on Sunday on AM 1540 and FM 106.9. So,
two games left with the Brewers. We'll see.
The Brewers.
If they can win. It's always hard to win a four-game series.
And then it's a big 10-game homestand.
Yeah, they've had a lot of home games here early.
Yeah.
So, you need to take advantage.
I don't remember the last time they lost a series to the Brewers. It's been a while.
Been a
I don't think
time.
They lost one at all last year.
Yeah.
They like playing the Brewers.
A lot of teams healthy.
It might have been 2 years ago when the Brewers got off to that hot start. They may have lost a series, but yeah.
Okay. So what the Brewers though? They got some thumpers.
Oh God, yeah.
Woo.
Yeah.
Big thumpers.
But do they have the pitching?
No.
Oh no.
Because they traded it all away.
Maybe next year.
That's right.
All right. Sports Saturday is out of time. Have a great weekend, everybody. For David and Terry, I am Tim. This is your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois. WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsborough, Carlinville, and Greenville.